This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. I'm Ken Morrison. Today it's my pleasure to have on the phone from the Health Research Foundation Hawke's Bay, Laura Martin, who is here today to chat about the Family Health Fair that is on at the Blythe Performing Arts Centre on June the 22nd. Laura, welcome to Radio Hawke's Bay.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Now, before we talk about the fair, tell us a little bit about the Health Research Foundation. What's it all about?
So the Health Research Foundation Hawke's Bay, which is what we are now known as, we were previously called the Hawke's Bay Medical Research Foundation, and the foundation has been in existence for around 62 years, so a very long time, and along the way it funded some marvellous projects, including in the areas of children's health, sports health, underprivileged communities. They always remained a little bit under the radar, though.
Yes.
Not many people had heard of them, even within the health sector specifically. So we decided that that really needed to be changed. That's when they pulled me on board last year in August. And so we've kind of gone through a whole identity refresh, I suppose, with a new name, a logo, a website, all that sort of stuff. Now, that really signifies, a way to kind of be more in line with our contemporary and holistic way of looking at health. So we really fund diverse and holistic health projects that go beyond the traditional medical model.
Mm-hmm.
And many people previously thought that that was not the case, that we only looked at very specific medical topics. Whereas in reality, it goes as far as in fitness health, mental health, any kind of holistic health topic that you can think of is something that, we are definitely open to learning more about from researchers. So now that this new identity is in place and everything is kind of shiny and brand new, we really hope to establish a profile in the Bay and really change the fact that people hadn't really heard of us and make sure that, that people will know about us. And hopefully when time comes that, individuals consider a donation, they'll think about our foundation.
Yes, indeed. Now, you say you've been around for 60 years. That is some long time, and it's possibly one of the best-kept secrets in Hawke's Bay, the fact that you have been around for so long and you're suffering a bit of an identity crisis. But in that time, how have things changed? I mean, from traditional medicine, it's moved away from traditional medicine in a lot of ways, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I think this is where it really is essential that foundations such as this align with what the actual industry is all about. And I think back then, health was definitely far more compartmentalized, and we have been starting to see a shift from that model to a model where people are not only seeing health more holistically and looking at different ways of addressing health issues, but also the connected aspect of health. And I think there is still a lot of gain possible in that area, but it's definitely something that plays hugely amongst health professionals is how can we as a health sector be better connected between ourselves so that we can optimally serve the health of the individual in front of us. And I think it was essential that in pulling this into modern day holistic views that was going to be represented, and the type of projects that we fund actually have represented that for quite a few years now. If you look at some of the stuff that we did with the underprivileged community, so this is a project that we did several years ago with Levi and Dana Armstrong, which is an amazing research team, with their husband and wife, who have come from EIT and have done a marvelous project into bringing actual exercise to underprivileged communities. So Levi essentially had a container refurbished into a mobile fitness studio, if you will, and just dropped this container into communities where this was required. And, let's remember that just after COVID, most of the regular fitness centers were still shut. So it became a real pressing issue for a lot of people. And we all know how physical exercise can really help us mentally as well. And as sort of, I could go on and on, but there's, yes, there's a whole lot of projects like that that really people would not expect.
No.
And if they learn about it, they understand actually, rather than looking at purely the medical model, we really look at where are the most pressing issues in our local Hawke's Bay community,
mm-hmm,
and let's really focus and hone in on those aspects and fund the research that really has the smartest ways of addressing that. So not only researching it, but also coming forward with models and improvements and ways that we can do things better and that can be adopted into the medical and the health industry more broadly. You know, if it can be implemented and sometimes even adopted nationwide, that's a huge achievement.
Yeah. So if someone comes to the to your organization, the Health Research Foundation, say, look, I've got this great idea, what are the criteria that they must meet before you'll support them?
Yeah, we have a bit of a sort of an assessment schedule, if you will,
mm-hmm,
and the committee will look at a number of things. As I already mentioned, the local aspect has a huge benefit and really needs to be applicable to the local community. It's also important that, you know, researchers have either a track record of research, or alternatively, they have a mentor or somebody who will oversee the research if they're a little bit more junior. So it's definitely not only reserved for the most senior researchers. It could be a team of researchers with different backgrounds. It also comes down to how viable is this research. So there's a number of criteria that we will apply a score to, and then the total score will kind of determine whether this is a worthwhile funding project.
Alternative therapies looked at often by your organization. So if I came to you and said, look, I think if you drink dandelion juice for the next 6 years, you're going to be fine.
It definitely has to be a very viable,
yes,
project. And in the end, if you can evidence, the realistic and the impact that this will have on our community, then we're all ears. In the end, that's really what it comes down to. So I know when I talk about applying scores and all that, it sounds very strict and it sounds very formal. And we sort of have to be, because in the end, it's our job. But having said that, it really comes down to how is this going to help people in the Bay? And if the answer is a definite yes, and it's an achievable research with an actual outcome, then yes, we are definitely going to look into that more.
Fascinating. Okay, now you've got a big family health fair coming along. It's going to be on Thursday the 22nd of June at the Blythe Performing Arts Centre. Tell us about this family fair, this family health fair.
Yeah, so we thought, now that our whole identity is polished up and shiny and good to be presented to the community, I suppose, we really wanted to find an opportunity to show them who we are, and not by simply doing a boring presentation, but actually offering something that people will really enjoy, and at the same time that they walk away from with some truly deep insight. So we thought, well, let's create a fair that really is more interactive, mm-hmm, an interactive health event, and let's offer a broad area of health-related activities and learnings. So really looking to combine deep educational insights into, you know, critical health questions, and at the same time offer people a fun, engaging, and memorable vibe. And that's really what the Family Health Fair is. So it's both learning as well as having fun.
So is it like a series of lectures while you're at the gig, or is there a whole bunch of different health professionals, entrepreneurs, and philanthropists sitting in their little booth and you get to talk to them individually? How's it going to work?
Yeah, it's not quite either of those. I mean, you're sort of getting in the right direction, but the program, it's sort of split in two. I don't know, for those who are not familiar with the Blythe, you've got this front area of the Blythe, which is called the foyer, which, mm-hmm, is a very light reception hall, I suppose, with lots of light and large windows and a long bar. And this area, the foyer, you will find a number of health stations, I suppose I'll call them.
Yes.
For example, there's an acunic there, which is a tool that measures your body mass composition. There's a photographer there who will be taking professional family portraits. There's a Measure My Health station where you can measure things such as your cholesterol. So this space, it just has a variety of stations where people kind of have a little bit of fun and at the same time learn some really valuable things about health and often about their particular health. It also showcases a mental health art exhibition, which has been put together by the most talented art students at Iona, because of course Blythe is right there by Iona, it's by Iona. And this art exhibition is something that has been led by the head of arts department of Iona, and it's a project that these students have worked on for months. So we're going to see some real special work there, and visitors can even bid for the art on display there. So that is the front of the program, the first part of the program. The second part of the program takes place in the auditorium, and that is once you go through the doors, I suppose, at what you call the official stage area of the venue. And here there's a number of elements scheduled as well, but the main act there really is the anti-vaping panel discussion, and that is led by Associate Professor Anita Jagrup-Dering. So she is a researcher at EIT, and Anita has for more than 20 years been a medical scientist at UCL Teaching Hospital in London. She's done she's got countless research papers on her name, and she's got so much experience, and she's been working with her team on a program of research to address the harms of youth vaping, which, as you can imagine, is an incredibly current topic in New Zealand.
Yes.
This work really focuses on the decision-making around vaping as well, and identifying the health knowledge gaps so that anti-vaping educational tools may be developed. It's just an unique opportunity for guests to gain first-hand insights from scientists and from public health promoters. And I think parents who have teenagers, you know, you have to be there. I think it is essential because there's just so much misinformation about this going around. And, you know, I am not the expert, and I'm not going to go into the scientific detail on this, but I think we can all agree that it's not as clean as the shops due to believe. Yeah. So it's a really important thing, and something that we're really proud to be able to address at such a scientific, factual level, to give people something to take away with and to talk about, and also talk about with their teenagers. Let's not forget that children from age 10 up are invited to come along to this event. That's why it is a family health fair, which means you can actually go home and have a really informed discussion with your children about this. And it means that also from a parent perspective, you're not going to be punitive about this. You will not be like, oh, this is a very bad thing and you should not be doing this. Actually, let's just understand where the decision making comes from. Of children who decide to vape because it's a terrible thing, and I've even understood that a lot of children do it because they are stressed out from so much schoolwork or from other aspects in life. And once you get to understand that a little bit better, you'll approach that whole problem very differently.
Laura, well said. It's been my pleasure to talk with you. And just a reminder to everyone, the Family Health Fair is being held on Thursday, the 22nd of June. It starts at around about 4:30 and it goes through till around about 7 p.m. It's on at the Blythe Performing Arts Centre, which is in 42 Lucknow Road in Havelock North.